Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's David Nagel. Welcome to What's the Truth. Today, my guest is Adam Williams. Adam, how you doing?
I'm great, David. How are you?
Doing fantastic. So you send in a form. You wanted to know if I could help. I hope that I can. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, so I really started thinking a lot more about my mindset in the last year and a half. So I've been coming to some of your events, and I go to other events and seminars and workshops. And what happens no matter what is I get so excited. I take so many notes and I have this whole action plan of all these things that I'm going to do. And then I get back in the office Monday morning and you know, the train totally goes off the rails and I can't keep up the momentum, right? I get so excited at these events. And then it just totally lose speed. And I was hoping you can help me, give me some better points on that.
How many things are you actually trying to change at once?
It seems like everything.
Because that's part of the problem right there. So here's the deal. Anything that you're changing that you want to change, you have to realize you're basically changing a habit. You're changing a habitual way of thinking, the emotions that are attached to it, and then your automatic behavior around it. It's all subconscious programming. So when you, and it's a common mistake a lot of people make when they start to, or when they go to seminars or talks or read books, they want to change everything. They get really inspired, but you overload your, basically your reactive system, your emotional system when you try to change everything. So the advice that was given to me very early on when I first started studying from my mentor, was to take one or two things that you want to change that you're going to stick to and change those first. Really work on changing one or two things. Don't try to change a whole bunch or you'll never get out of your own way. Your subconscious will just push back way too much on it. When you're changing, you're using your conscious mind to stay focused on what it is that you're changing, to stay disciplined on your behaviors, your ways of thinking, your end goal, you know, evaluating what it is that you're doing on a daily basis. And if there's too many of them, your conscious mind can't handle that because it can only focus on a few things at the same time at any point in time during the day. Everything else is run by your unconscious mind. So that's why one or two things is the important thing to do. The other thing that's important is that you pick things that you know, based on your own personality and your own honesty with yourself, that you're going to follow through on. Because a lot of people pick things that they're probably not ready to change yet. They haven't built the discipline. They haven't built the emotional maturity to do it. And they jump into something really big and they just fail and fail and fail and fail. And they just reinforce failure. So you want to really look at what you're going to change. And then you want to ask yourself, this is radical honesty. Am I going to stick to this? Am I actually going to follow through with my new discipline, my new behaviors, my new ways of thinking? Because that, when you do that, you do something that's very interesting. You start to rebuild trust with yourself. And when you rebuild trust with yourself, then you're being your word. And it's the thing that gives you the most confidence in life. So if a person really builds trust with themselves with everything, like you could go anywhere, have a conversation with anybody, and you know that if you said you were going to do something, no matter what, you would be your word, it would get done lock, stock, and barrel. You'd have that, you would do it. Most people don't do that. They say they're going to do things, they want to do things, they don't keep their word. And what happens is they reinforce the fact that they can't actually trust themselves. So they lose confidence in themselves. They lose belief in themselves. I can't tell you, I've been coaching for over 20 years now. And very often when I'm looking at somebody who's a potential client and they have doubt running through their mind, I'll ask them this question. I'm like, be really honest with me. Is it that you don't trust me or you don't trust yourself to follow through with it? And almost every time, it's they don't trust themselves to follow through with what I'll show them how to do. Because when I show somebody what to do, it's basically math. If you think about it from cause and effect, if you do the work, you'll end up with the result. But they don't trust themselves to actually do it because they've broken that trust for so long that they just don't trust themselves. So it's a process of rebuilding. So you ask yourself, based on what I want to change, what am I actually going to follow through on? So not only am I going to get that result, which helps change my belief system, but it also builds the confidence in that I'm going to keep my word to myself and actually get something done and something changed.
Yeah, that's definitely an issue, is I've sort of broken the trust with myself so many times. And it's interesting to think about, you know, it prioritize maybe not based on the things that are going to have the biggest impact or the create the most profit, but really just pick the things that I know I'm going to follow through on.
Yep.
And it's really interesting because as a lawyer, all I do is think about all the things that can go wrong for people. You know, how do we plan for every possible contingency? And when it does hit the fan, how can we deal with it? So I think, you know, our profession sort of makes us think that way, that we have to plan for things not to work out. And that's a really difficult change.
I think life makes us think that way, the way that we're raised. But what's unfortunate about it is, if you think about it logically, if you're not going to do it anyway, it doesn't matter if it's a priority. You know what I mean? If you don't follow through, nothing happens anyway. So if a person's really going to change their life or their business, they have to start wherever they are. And that's the thing that people miss the most with any kind of professional development or personal development, is they really don't understand where they are in their own process of changing. And what are the internal psychological, emotional muscles that they have to rebuild to regain their confidence in their belief system so that they can then take on these bigger challenges, whether it's, you know, building a business or becoming a millionaire, you know, really transforming huge parts of their life. I mean, anybody can do it. They just have to rebuild that trust with themselves and that internal confidence so that they can follow through on it.
So, I mean, can you give me some ideas of small things that I can start doing? Yeah, I think I need to start pretty basic here of like reestablishing this trust.
So give me a couple of, here's what this doesn't work for. It doesn't work metaphorically, right? So give me some real areas of your life that you feel open to sharing that you want to change, and I'll see what I can do about giving you some good advice around those.
You know, I feel a little stuck right now because we need to grow our team in our office. We need to hire some more people. And I tell myself, you know, I don't have the time to recruit and hire and onboard and train and get somebody up to speed. And then even if I find the time to do that, it's going to cost a lot of money to do that because we've got to go out of pocket before we can start, you know, recovering revenue from a new employee who can actually generate some revenue for us. So, you know, so the first step is I need the time, right? I need to create the time to plan this out. And then I just let my calendar fill up with other things and they're not distractions in the traditional sense that they, you know, they come out of nowhere. You know, it's just clients call and they need to be on the schedule, or I've got to have meetings with employees. So, you know, I'm not doing the things that I need to be doing to grow the business the way that I want to grow them. Okay. Maybe that's a little bit bigger problem than you were expecting me to spell out.
So I think I can help. First of all, you're in control of your calendar. And what's very important about the calendar is understanding that you're in control of it, and how you use it determines the quality of your life and your business. So the way that myself, my CEO, and my company works my calendar is that I put down in my calendar all the things that are personal to me that are important first. So family time, personal time, vacation time, things that I want to do throughout the year, throughout the week, whatever, I block those off so that they can't be touched. Okay. The only time they can be touched is if there's an emergency. The second thing, or what are the important things in business that have to be done based on the goals of moving forward? So if I was in your situation, one of those things would be that we need to hire someone, and that needs to be calendared. Okay. It's not a convenience. it's a must. It's something that must happen. So it has to be calendared and you have to stick to the calendar with it. Then you leave times that are open for client emergencies and such. What that does though, is it puts you in control and not the client. So you tell the client, here, I'm open between 3 and 6 on Thursday. If you can't make that work, we have to look to the following week, right? So make the client move their time, don't move yours, if at all possible. Because once you start doing that, the client starts running your business and you're not running your business. And there's nothing worse than having your business be client-driven because it creates chaos. It just creates total chaos in your company. Does that help as far as the calendar goes?
It does. I mean, I always have this fear that we're going to run out of new business. And so when somebody calls and it's a new client and they need a consultation, like that's taking priority, get them in as soon as possible, you know, shuffle other things around because we can't let our pipeline of new business dry up.
Yeah.
So that's just one of the things I allow to get in the way there.
So that's a hell of a way to live your life. Because it always keeps you in a reactionary mode and it keeps you in fear, keeps you operating from fear.
Totally.
One of the things, a decision that you need to make, and this is not just like it's just a decision, there's an education that needs to go behind this, but you need to refuse to live in fear. You need to refuse to run your business from fear. You know how to get a client. You understand, you're an intelligent man. You understand the cause and effect around building a business, getting a client, making a sale, collecting revenue, paying your bills. Like these are all cause and effect principles that make our businesses run, make the country run, you know, so on and so forth. So it's important to stay with the facts. Just because you're getting a client does not mean you have to turn your life upside down in order to fulfill that client's needs. You work on what you have open to do that. And if necessary, if you did have to move something, all you would be doing is moving something. You wouldn't be eliminating it. So let's say that you really wanted this client and the only time they could meet was at 3 o'clock on Wednesday, and that was your time to go hire a new person. And so this does take precedent over that. You would then move the time to hire the person to another time, but you would move it and you would make that time stick. That was because it's a real priority. But in most cases, what you're going to do is you're going to put down the times that you can work with clients and you're not going to move them. They're going to be set. They're going to be set in stone. It doesn't matter who comes down the pike. It's also a belief that it's changing your belief from there's not enough to there's more than enough. Because if what you're saying is true, that you need that client, then everybody would be on the verge of going out of business. And they're not. There's more than enough for everything to keep operating functionally in a very high state of productivity. So that is a mindset problem, and you've got to stop telling yourself that story. You have to stop believing in that story. And when you do that, you'll actually find that you track more business into your company instead of just what you need. Okay?
Yeah. That's something I've really been working on is, you know, this just the abundance mindset, and I'm trying to get better at it. But then I start telling myself, well, if that client goes somewhere else because we couldn't get them in fast enough, I feel really bad because I know we were going to do a great job for that client. And if we allow them to go somewhere else, there's a risk that they're not going to be served as well as we could have served them. And then I start to feel guilty about that.
Okay, but you can't serve everybody.
I want to though.
but that's irrational. That's not rational thinking. That's emotional thinking, right? So I understand that, but not every client you're meant to work with, not every client is meant to work with you, and you can only serve so much. So if you want to serve more, grow the business in a responsible way where you can serve more, but it doesn't take control over your life. It doesn't bring all this chaos into your life, okay? Another thing that you can do, and you can think about this, you know, after we get off the call and things, but ask yourself, how does the chaos actually serve you? Does it make you feel important? Like subconsciously, it's serving you in some way, and that's not a good thing. So if you can unpack how that's serving you and get whatever need you need personally fulfilled in a healthier way, you'll completely remove the chaos. Because creating chaos in your life is a subconscious pattern.
Yeah, I used to take pride in it, right? Like a lot of people, oh, I'm so busy, I must be important. And now it just drives me freaking crazy. Right. I'm really unhappy with it. And there's got to be something else that's motivating that.
Well, you just said it. And being important. It's giving you self-esteem. It's giving you self-worth. You're basing your self-worth on how busy you are and how good of a job you're doing, instead of really owning that for yourself, that you are a good person, you are an intelligent person, you do a good job, and it's not based on how chaotic or how many people are coming to you. If anything, it's more results-driven. Like, what are the results that you get for your client? If you have one client and you get a really great result, that's a really great thing. That's evidence that you're doing a great job. But having chaos is not evidence that you're doing a great job.
Yeah. I mean, that when I first started, that was always the mindset is, you know, I can go and work more hours in order to make more money. And that's not the approach that I consciously am telling myself. That's not what I want to do. I don't need to come in, work late nights or on weekends. There's other ways that I can grow this business and help more right. people, but maybe what I'm telling myself is contradicting with what I'm actually doing.
Yeah, I would say so. And that's where your subconscious kicks in and starts taking over your decision-making process and how you're actually viewing what's happening in your business. It's also what's causing you to prioritize one thing over another. So to change this around, the truth is most companies don't start off with enough capital to help them grow. They're bootstrapping all along the way, right? So a priority, you have to look at the business as far as what do you need as far as priority. If you need more money in the business to help it grow, then your first hire might be somebody that can help you bring in more revenue into the company. But also at the same time, you have to ask yourself, do you have the ability to fulfill that revenue, the contracts as they come in? So it could be a dual hire. It could be that you need another attorney, or you need another assistant, or whatever it is that you might need that allows you to fulfill and grow simultaneously. What you don't need is the money up front. The first thing that has to happen is a decision. The money and the how to do anything always comes after the decision to do it, not before. So you don't need the money. You don't need to know how it's going to happen until you make a decision that it's going to happen. You just need to sit down and look at what are the priority hires that I need to make. And here's another thing. People, you'll find that people are very negotiable when it comes to wanting to work somewhere. So if a person is attracted to working with your firm, and you can't quite pay them what they're worth right now, but it is a conversation where, listen, we're in a growth phase. I can't quite pay you what you're asking for right now, but if you come in and you help facilitate that growth, I will meet that need for you 12 months down the road or 18 months down the road. And not everybody will go for that, but you will find that there are people that will totally go for that. I mean, when I started my company, I did not have the ability to pay a lot of money to a lot of people. So there was a lot of negotiating that happened. You know, if you do this, I'll meet you here. If you help me grow here, I'll meet you over here. I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you, you know, and we'll make it up in the income or whatever it is that benefits you, you know, in your personal life and what's important to you. And you can find people that will do those things. People do it all the time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I sit here and tell myself, wow, it would be a whole lot easier to hire somebody if I just had 6 months of expenses saved up in the bank.
Right.
But the flip side is someone that's willing to entertain that type of arrangement where they can grow with us, those are actually the people I'd rather be working with anyway.
Right.
That's a really good point.
And then the idea of having like 6 months of expenses in the bank, again, that's also a discipline, right? So if you ask yourself, how much money could you take out of your gross every month or every week and put into an account where you don't touch it, okay? No matter what happens, you don't touch it, so that you allow yourself to grow a good savings account for your business. I don't care how much it is. It's just that you know that you will do it. If you can do that, you will find after a short period of time that you can raise that amount and you will still bring in the amount of money that you need to pay your bills anyway. Because really, it's another unconscious process. Most of us have what I call a financial set point that causes us to bring in the exact amount of money that we need, up or down a percentage or two, based on what our need is. So what our weekly need is, our monthly need is, as far as expenditure, and that is personal and business. It is an unbelievable phenomenon. People will get just what they need. And the reason is because most of us, since we were kids, were raised with the idea, not actual numbers, but we were taught based on need. Don't take more than you need. Don't use more than you need. You don't need that. You don't need this. So subconsciously, we have this idea in our mind, only get what you need, only earn what you need, only buy what you need. So when we set a goal that's based on money, very often we don't hit it because unconsciously we're saying, well, this is all I need. And then as soon as we hit that need level of income, we take our foot off the gas and we say, well, I'm tired now or whatever. We don't do any extra work to break that pattern in our life.
So, I mean, what else can I do? I've sort of broken through that first set point. You know, I'm at the point now where I earn more than my parents were comfortable making. And I spend money on things that my parents were really uncomfortable spending money on.
Great.
My dad did really, really well, but he never bought himself a brand new vehicle, right? He always had used things that he had to fix up. But now I'm kind of stuck where I am now, and what sort of things can I do to raise my need, I guess?
What do you really want?
Yeah, I don't know. I really struggle with that.
So
I really struggle with that.
Yeah, that's why you're not raising your needs. So what you need to do is you need to sit down and think about what you really want. And you think about what you think about in your secret thoughts, the things that you think about that you don't tell anybody, and then give yourself permission to want that. We have like two parts of our mind that we go to when we set a goal. So often what we'll do is we'll look around at all the facts that we have in front of us. We'll look at our past, what we have been able to do and what we have not done. And we'll set a goal from a place of what we think we can accomplish, but not what we really want. Like if I said to you, you're guaranteed to win, all the resources that you need to get there will be available to you. You won't have to be concerned with what anybody else will think on your way up there or when you get there. I guarantee if you gave that some thought with those considerations, you would pick something that you want much more differently than where you're coming from now. We are raised with the idea that we need permission from somebody else to want something in life that is much more grandiose than anything that we've ever experienced before. So we will only marginally step above it. But to go really high, like to make a quantum leap, we have to let ourselves imagine. We have to let ourselves dream about what it is that we really want. We have to be honest with ourselves about what that is. The other thing is, and I ask this question of just about everybody when they're having the issue where they're stuck where you are. And you don't have to answer this right now. Just think about it. Is there anybody in your life that your relationship would be stressed, hurt, or something would go wrong with if you achieved the goals that you really want to achieve in your heart? Because a lot of times that's very accurate. Because when we start growing, if we start outgrowing the people around us, family members, sometimes spouses, and those people don't want to grow, we know we're going to get pushback on it. And it causes a real big problem for somebody who's decided that they want to start moving up with their life, but they're surrounded by people that thinking moving up is not good, or it's not for them, or they don't want to partake in it, or they don't want to make the commitment to it, or whatever. And then you have people that you find out you have two very different value systems with those individuals. And the other thing is that very often it's the people closest to us that say the most hurtful things when we actually start to grow like that, because it makes them feel insecure about their own life. So like I said, You don't need to answer it. Just think about, is there something playing in your life like that? Because for most people there is.
Yeah. I mean, I tell myself that there isn't, but maybe I'll give it some more thought. Cause I mean, even in the last year and a half, where our firm has really, really grown rapidly, relationships have become strained. We've abandoned some relationships with people who didn't want to change with us.
Okay.
But maybe there's more there that I'm just not realizing.
Yeah. So it's, if it's not the relationships, then you have to really just get down to the idea of what do you really want and believe that you can go for it, right? You could be just looking at the facts of what you have, and because your mind can't see you getting there because you're looking at the facts, you don't allow yourself to think about what it is that you really want. You're too worried about the day-to-day operations, even though you're actually making progress, you know?
Yeah, this was actually one of my big takeaways from the 8 Steps to Personal Freedom a few weeks ago with you, is you had three categories. I don't remember what they were, but the top one was the fantasy, right? And I wrote down in my notes that you have to permit that fantasy. But as we started this podcast, I wrote that note down. I said, I'm going to do this and then haven't taken the time to do it. But that's, maybe I need to spend some more time figuring out what it is that I want.
I would spend some quality time with yourself figuring out what that is. Write down all of the things that you want. Cut out pictures of in magazines if there's a picture that represents it. Make a vision board. I know that sounds a little corny, like that's been going around for a long time, but I'm going to tell you something. When I first started, I created a vision board, and within a few years, I achieved every damn thing that was on that board, which blew my mind because it was more progress than I had ever made in my entire life. So they really work, because what happens is you start to burn the image into your unconscious mind, and you start to make decisions based on what's going to get you the things that are in that image. And they're inspiring. It shows you what you're working for. The other thing is that when you figure out how much those things cost, you could put a real tangible number to them. So now the number that you increase in your income has a meaning to it. It's not just, well, let's just increase it. It literally has a meaning to it. So it's representational of what your heart's desire is and why you're doing, or part of why you're doing what it is that you're doing.
I'm a big fan of vision boards, actually. And I did at the end of last year, I did a workshop for some realtors, and we made them together, and that was really fun. And that works for me on the material side of things, right? Okay. At last July, I got to rip off the car that I wanted from the vision board because I bought it, right?
Great.
Where I struggle with is sort of the non-material things.
Like?
You know, how I want to be spending my time, you know, what my legacy is going to be, what type of impact I can have, you know, those are the things I really struggle with answering.
Is that something you're just thinking about now, or has that been running around in your mind for a long time?
It's been around for a long time. Yeah.
Do you know what your purpose is?
No.
You don't. Do you have any idea what at all?
I mean, we
you think it's silly.
So what inspires me right now is, if I can step back and look at it, is our law firm is really focused on helping other entrepreneurs and startups. And there's nothing more that I like than driving down a street and seeing somebody that we helped and their business is there, right? Or they've expanded and we see the factory increase, or they have to put in a bigger parking lot because they're hiring more employees.
Yeah. Right?
That stuff really fires me up. And I stole this from the director of our Chamber of Commerce. You know, 15 or 20 years from now, people are going to look back at and say, wow, I'm really glad that they did that for our community. And I want to be part of they, right? I want to be one of the people that had an impact like that. So, you know, right now I that really motivates me. But then I also think, you know, we're in our little Rust Belt town. That's one of the least entrepreneurial cities in America. Is that impact big enough, or do I want to do things on a larger scale than that? And I don't know.
Well, you might want to. That might be why you're even asking that question. Maybe you have, maybe you feel like you have some obligation to the little Rust Belt town that you're in. And I had kind of the same thing. I came from Chicago, right? And I moved out of the city about 85 miles west of Chicago, raised my family out there. And it was a very big deal when I outgrew the community that I was in. You know, I was like, I can't grow anymore in this community, and the people in this community don't want to grow with me. So I need to go someplace that is going to allow me to achieve my goal and grow. And it was, you know, I think any time that we do that, whether it's friends that we outgrow, or family members that we outgrow, or community that we outgrow, or even a business maybe that we outgrow, there's a little bit of a mourning period that goes there. There's some grief with that because you're attached to it. It's something that means something in your life. But being able to transition from one thing to another is what allows you to reach that fulfillment of whatever it is. And it also allows more vision to come in. So to give yourself permission to break traditions, to do what it is that's in your heart. Like the same thing, you know, the same thing juices me about what I do is that I get to help people break out of their paradigms for the way they live and grow businesses to the way that they want to grow them and live their life and leave an impact. And, you know, the other thing is leveraging you. So if you build a company that can do it without you being there every day, there's other ways that you can also do this, right? Like you can participate in a lot of different ways. You could start different companies. You could write books. You could create programs. You could do all kinds of things that help people do this in a much bigger way than you're currently doing it now. But you have to get the company to the place where you've created this entity that can provide this service, and now you're free to create other entities that do the same thing or, you know, something similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like in some respects, I'm leading by example, right? I'm doing the things that I want my clients and friends to do. But it should also free me up to pursue some other things.
It is. And everything that you need to do it is already here. Never forget that. Like, you don't need anything. The first step of creation in our life, doesn't matter what it is clarity around what we're doing and a decision. Then we attract everything that we need to do that. Never let your circumstance dictate your decision. Okay?
Okay. That's good.
You good?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Great job. All right. I'm going to close this out. Hey, everybody, if you enjoyed this episode of What's the Truth and you'd like an opportunity to be featured on our future podcast, text TRUTH to 469-447-7775. Adam, it was fantastic. I hope it helps. Keep us updated on what you're doing, because we really want to know. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
You got it, man.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.